Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Welcome back. Ray Shillins, Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. We've got a very special guest. Pat Hanlon is with us today. Pat is founder and CEO of Thinktopia. And basically, Pat has been a marketing practitioner for about 20 years. His book, Primal Branding, Create Zealots for Your Brand, Your Company, and Your Future, was named Best Read of 06, translated into 5 languages, and included as a marketing curriculum at progressive universities, including Berkeley and Johns Hopkins. So we'll tell you more about Pat here in just a moment. Also momentarily, Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence, is talking about blogosphere training for executives. In other words, they may know how to do some things or may not, but she suggests some blogosphere training. And a little bit later on in the hour, it's Gene Bliss, the customer experience. And Gene today talks about what you want to do to talk to your customers so they'll talk to you. A rather important thing, especially in these wonderful times we call the recession. Let's see, gas prices are on the rise and food prices are staying the same, but restaurants are having a tough time getting folks out to dine. And what they're doing, rather than doing those buy one, get one free, or what they call a Boca lemonade, where the guys just come in and eat crackers and drink water with lemon in it, what they're doing is they're adding things to their to the meal. In other words, for a certain price, you get, you know, the appetizer, the main course, the dessert, and this is not just at fine restaurants. This is at, you know, you've probably seen the Applebee's or the Chili's commercials where they're trying to show you that there's value out there. You can get something for your money, but apparently restaurants obviously would be hurting as people kind of roll up and be a little bit more cautious. And Brad, I don't know about you, if you've ever gardened, but not because of the economy. We went ahead and now we're container gardening on our back patio. We have tomatoes and beans and peppers and all that kind of cool stuff. So we'll have our own stash of wonderful veggies, fresh grown.
Well, you know, times are tough when even Michelle Obama has to, you know, plant a garden.
I thought that was pretty cool. I think it was neat.
Oh, of course, it was a great idea, and it should be a message. You know what, 30, 40 years ago, Kennedy started with his fitness program to get kids more active and so forth. Not that we were inactive back in those days, Ray, but
the only problem, a lot of stuff back then. Yeah, sure we did as kids. And lot more problem is with Michelle is she accidentally dug up Truman.
Well, that's true. Well,
it's wrong place.
Truman's dog, actually. A lot of people mistook that. You know, it's interesting, though, as we're talking about that, any message to the public about growing your own vegetables and getting children maybe to start eating non-processed foods has got to be a good thing. So hats off to the Obama family for doing that. We've been hearing that they might be doing that. Real quickly, Ray, Facebook on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, simultaneously sacked its CFO, released financial data for 2008 and 2009, and hinted that an IPO was forthcoming. VentureBeat's Eric Eldon says that this Facebook's move was their way of defending itself to the press, which has been critical of the social network's giant's ability to make money from advertising, very important in today's world. Its apparent struggle is to raise more capital, and its recent string of high-profile employee defections. So, you know, good proactive move, I suppose, or reactive move on Facebook's part. Bad news for their CFO.
Yeah, interesting. Things change like that when you get involved in the bigger picture, don't they? A.K.A. the auto industry, which is real interesting as well.
Yeah.
Pat Hanlon coming our way here. Go ahead.
I thought he'd be fired by Obama, right?
Yeah, he got fired by Obama. That's scary. I'm sorry. That's scary. He went to work for Ford, probably. We've got Shamin Abbas here with us. Blogosphere, training for executives. This is class number one. Let's listen.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence. PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
The corporate executives with whom we work typically have some experience with traditional media, both positive and negative, and are open to us helping them with traditional strategies for handling interviews. But digital media is a whole new breed that presents challenges and opportunities in new media relations and training. That said, the first question is to ask, how important is this when approached by a blogger for an interview with your client? It's not necessarily right for every client or message, and it is your job to sort this out and make intelligent recommendations. If you and your client agree to take the plunge, pick your battles, hone your message, and take control. In the less formal idiom of dealing with citizen journalism, control is often won by standing your ground and supporting every statement with a concrete example. Know when to say no, which is not the same thing as no comment. Train your executive ahead of time as to what is off limits, such as proprietary information, requests for hypothetical situations or scenarios, anything to do with litigation, questions about his or her area of expertise, and confidential or personal information. Be quotable. When the PR firm has made the successful effort to interest the media in a client's business, they need to say something worth quoting. Anticipate questions and craft compelling answers. Create strategies for fielding unexpected questions by developing analogies and examples, anecdotes, or compare and contrast to give an answer with some depth. Don't stop once the interview is over. Once the story is out, measure the results. In terms of the interview itself, were the key points conveyed? Were the facts accurate? Was the slant expected? Then look at the actual outcome. Look at the chain of commentary, how the blog affected audience behavior, and track the blogosphere activity using tools like Technorati Feedster, PubScrub, CyberAlert, and IntelliSeek to measure message pickup.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Thank you, Shamin. And remember, there's going to be a test on that a little bit later on in the show, so hopefully you took notes, especially if you're a CEO. About the blogosphere, here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show. As we said, Pat Hanlon is joining us today. Pat, author of the Primal Branding book, also at Thinktopia, where he is founder and CEO. Hanlon and partner Susan Cantor, husband a roving troop of social anthropologists, cultural ethnographers, trend spotters, research analysts, venture catalysts, graphic designers, urban planners, innovation experts, and they also have a plumber on staff as too as well. It's really kind of cool. Working for Levi's, Wrigley, Taco Bell, Barnes & Noble, and on and on and on. So we'll find out more about Pat and what he has to do at Thinktopia. It's something worth sticking around for here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. We've got a kind of a cool platform that we market the advertisingshow.com with. It's called Tendency. That's with an I, and it's by a guy by the name of Ed Schippel out of our Houston market. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L, Schippel.com. Check it out. It's an incredibly powerful marketing tool. If you haven't already got something there, go get it and check it out, okay? At Schippel.com. Back in just a moment with Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, and Pat Hanlon on the Advertising Show.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsythe.
Stronger than dirt.
As promised, we are back with our interview today. Pat Hamlin is CEO of Thinktopia, and also a book called Primal Branding he wrote as well. Let's see, what is it? Thinktopia.com. Pat, you are you said Minneapolis, is that right?
I am.
Okay, welcome to the show. Good to have you here.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
Yeah, Pat, for those that may not be familiar with Thinktopia, give us a little background on your organization and maybe some things that are going on that you'd like to chat about right now.
Sure. We're a little bit different. We're an idea engineering company. We're not an advertising agency. We go all over the world solving problems, either repositioning products or companies or creating, you know, big landscapes for them. And my partner, Susan, I'm in Minneapolis. My partner, Susan, is in New York City, and we have other compadres all over the country, Chicago, Los Angeles, and elsewhere. We've gone to Moscow, Paris, Bogota, Beijing.
These are your other, is this a network of individuals that are employed, or is it, how do you put that together in those various markets?
I don't think we have time for that, but we have a great Rolodex, and we have a great group of what we call thought leaders, and there are other people who've also written books, and they're out there, and really we look at it as bringing in experienced people and applying the right people to a job, a project, and not bringing in someone who's worked on toilets to work on shampoo.
I got you.
So clients love it.
Well, in your bio, I was reading that your organization conducts successful ideation workshops and your Primal Digs workshop. You work with companies to overhaul their brands and company culture. If you were brought in, Pat, to say talk to a company like AIG or any of the numerous banking institutions,
probably wouldn't get paid, but that's okay.
Well, you'd want to get upfront money, but for any of the institutions that took bailout money, what would be your first order of business to bring shine back to these tarnished brands?
Well, that's a great question. A lot of times, what we do, we have a great system for really aligning brands and giving them a new vision. And first of all, we start out by creating what we call a brand narrative. And most companies are built around a story. And a lot of times with someone like an AIG or someone like that, we go back to what we call the creation story and the creed and start to redefine them. I mean, a big example of that was a few elections ago when Bush kind of took Kerry's creation story. Kerry, who had been a distinguished soldier over in Vietnam, and there was Bush, George W., you know, sitting, well, I think he was in Houston with you, wasn't he, Ray?
Yeah.
And, you know, did he really go to, you know, his military service or not? And there was a question mark there, and really they took Kerry's story and kind of dismantled it to great effect, obviously.
Yeah.
And so we kind of do the same thing in the sense that we go in and we look at what the foundation of the founding principles of the story were. Every company was founded, you know, according to some principle or some way of doing things that was better and differentiated at that time. And we go back and see what that is like and then try to reinvent it.
Yeah, and you know, you're touching upon what you guys call your primal codes, and we're going to talk about each of those seven codes that we learned about in researching for today's interview, but we'll save that for next segment. But before we do that, Obama's chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, says that we should all take advantage of the financial crisis that we're in. Pat, are there things that marketers and branding stewards can do to take advantage of the economic crisis we're currently in?
Well, sure. You mean largely we live in kind of in a reactive environment, and you know, of course, no one wants to see the economy slip to where it's at right now. But there are actually some good things that can come from this. You know, management is thinking of ways to think smarter, to think leaner, you know, find more efficiencies and better ways of communicating and communicating to its core market. And often these can be things that they might have been doing all along. But really creating a learning culture, I think, is key. Sending out, you know, creating an environment where people can actually are listening better to the consumer and then figuring out new ways to communicate.
You know, when you talk about brands that are well known, certainly worldwide global brands like Google and Nike, Apple, Coke, for example, I'm curious, why do you think consumers actually have an emotional connection and have a feeling about these particular brands and the products that they provide versus no connection at all with other brands that maybe spend similar, if not more, money in trying to connect with consumers? Where's the disconnect there?
Oh, sure. Well, brands are belief systems. And those companies like Nike, Apple, Starbucks, Coca-Cola, and others have really created a resonant belief system, and some of them have done it through great instinct, which creates some of our best marketers. Others have done it through, hiring smart people, having a lot of luck, having great financing sometimes. And that's how you can explain, you know, it's pretty inexplicable, easy to explain, I guess, how Coca-Cola has become a brand after 100 years of doing just about everything, mm-hmm. from taste test to Super Bowl spots, but inexplicable how Starbucks was created itself into a great brand, you know, at a fraction of that time, in the same category, the beverage category. So how did they do that? And what they did is they surrounded themselves with the seven pieces of what we call the primal code.
A little bit later on in the show, we're going to get the primal handshake and the primal scream down, because I'm sure Nintendo has that. It's Ray Schilling and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show out of Minneapolis. It's Pat Hanlon, founder and CEO of Thinktopia and author of the book Primal Branding. Back in just a minute with more on the Advertising Show.
Why do more media professionals read iWantMedia.com? iWantMedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iWantMedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iWantMedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iWantMedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop.
Welcome back. Glad you're here today on The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth and our special guest out of Minneapolis, Pat Hanlon, founder and CEO of Thinktopia. Pat, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
And by the way, Ray, I don't know if you knew this, Primal Branding is now in 5 languages, and I was considering for a little bit, for a while there, of doing the interview in French, but I thought, should we really do that?
Probably not.
No, well, thanks.
Like, no, thanks. I'll pass on that. How about Latin? That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
Well, that was the only language of the 5 that it wasn't included in. We came to know you, Pat, through a CMO strategy article, which appeared in Advertising Age this past January, entitled Economic Slowdown Demands Fast New Ideas. In the article, I found of particular interest your suggestion to think of your brand as a city or a country. Explain what you mean by this, Pat.
Oh, sure. Well, I think it's pretty easy to think of what kind of community. We ask people to think of what their brand would be like if it was a community. And I think it's pretty easy to figure out what a brand like Nike would be, for example. Lots of running paths, lots of people in spandex and so forth, and trees and sunny blue skies. And you can do the same thing if you ask people, you know, what a Starbucks community might be like or an Apple community. And such is the resonance of those brands that you can pretty much fill in, you know, what their environment would be about. And but can't always do that for other brands, you know. And I'm not going to abuse anyone, but there are a lot of other brands out there that we can't do that for. And I think that the challenge for most marketers is to figure out, well, what is my brand about, and what does it smell like? You know, what kind of music is playing? And people don't really understand how their consumers engage themselves in what we call their brand community. And so actually we're doing a lot of the work in that right now. And several projects where marketers, we mentioned earlier, you know, with the tough economic times, people are really ratcheting down and trying to figure out who their core consumers are. And we're involved in a couple of projects like that right now. And you would have thought that people would know who those people are just as a matter of business. But in fact, we're really taking a hard look now to see how they live, what they consume, what other things they consume, what TV shows they watch, what forms of communication they involve themselves in, whether you were talking about Facebook earlier, but also cell phones and computers, and you have it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting.
Well, staying with social networks for a second, isn't it paradoxical that on the one hand we have a culture that's has this intense interest of wanting to be a part of a social community, yet on the other hand, Pat, we all seem to be striving to be recognized as individuals. Marketers, marketing to individuals seems to be a thing that we are all evolving to, yet people today are much more sensitive to inauthentic products, brands, inauthentic people for that matter. How can both of these social phenomena coexist?
Yeah, well, you're asking really two different questions there. First of all, I think there's an innate need for all of us to have a sense of community. We all want to belong to something. And it's, you know, the dead center in Maslow's hierarchy of human needs. And, you know, the monk that lives on the mountainside or the mountaintop is the anomaly. And we really all want to belong to something, even if it's just one other person or a million other people on Facebook. And so that's the one thing. The other thing is does get back to the creation story and the creed. And in a world, you know, if you ask most consumers, you know, do you really care where a product comes from? Do you care, you know, that it started in 1853? And most of them would say no, especially younger kids. But that's really BS, because in today's world, you know, that thing called authenticity is really going back to where does this come from? And this is brought about for a couple of reasons. You know, one, of course, are the frauds and the Enrons and so forth. But there's also the fake personalities on the internet and so forth. And the third thing is also, you know, the products, you know, that are coming from overseas. We don't really know what's in them these days. So people are going back and really do want to know, where do these products come from? You know, are you a good guy or a bad guy?
I suppose it takes a bit to find out, too, as well, especially when you've got a tarnished reputation from a particular supplier, whether it be overseas or not. Mentioning Facebook, too, Pat, we just recently did a call out to our fan base and to folks, you know, in our friend base, and asking about what's our vibe. Not only what's the vibe of the company, but what's the vibe of the employees within the company. And it was very interesting to get back, and with that, by better knowing, you know, who's out there and what we are perceived at, we give that the opportunity to better market ourselves as well, which is a real benefit, too. We've got Pat Hanlon with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe here on The Advertising Show. Pat is founder and CEO of Thinktopia. We've got more of the show coming your way here in just a moment.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million and a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
Welcome back to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Pat Hanlon, our special guest out of Minneapolis, founder and CEO of Thinktopia, and author of the book Primal Branding, Create Zealots for Your Brand, Your Company, and Your Future, named one of the best read of 06. A lot more going on in your life too, Pat. So as we get back to the interview, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you here.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Yeah, as promised during the first segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the seven codes that you mention in your book, Primal Branding, and you you say that these particular primal codes, if used properly, will attract a broad community. Let's talk a little bit about a few of these. As you mentioned originally, the creation story is important. I'm going to go through them real quickly, and then I want to zero in on a couple. You also, and if you want to learn more about these, I guess you'll need to go out and buy the book. Creation story was one we talked about first segment. Creed, icons, rituals, sacred words, non-believers, and leaders. I want to move forward to sacred words, which I found fascinating as one of the codes. Talk a little bit about what you mean by that, Pat.
Yeah, sure. I just should, though, elaborate a little bit and say that it's all seven of those things working together that create a constellation that in turn creates a belief system, and that belief system is what ultimately creates brands. But the all belief systems have a specialized lexicon that identify those people who are members of the community and also those who are not. And if you look at things like, Starbucks is always an easy example because so many of us stood in front of that menu board trying to figure out what we're going to order the first time before we ordered our, you know, ice grande skinny decaf latte. See,
right.
I can't even do it anymore. And which is something you don't have to go through if you go to Dunkin' Donuts. And as most everyone knows, there's probably as many people go to Dunkin' Donuts as go to Starbucks because they don't, and the two don't, they're paradoxical. So they're non-believers of one another, to touch on another piece of code. But just think of the first time you started a new job. You probably spent the first couple weeks figuring out all the new words that the company has, because even if you're in the same industry, every company has its own set of words. All the jokes and anecdotes that people had, they all knew, and you tried to learn them too, and you're trying to do this because you're trying to fit into the community. Well, the same thing happens with the brand, and the same thing happens when you go on to, you know, I am or one of those things, or if you're texting. If you want to be a part of that digital community, you have to know the words. So we all know LOL by now, which is used, incidentally, all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in Moscow and China, and people are using LOL even when it means nothing in Chinese characters, so because it's not Chinese characters. So, but those, they're all a part of a community, right? A larger community.
Sure.
And so I had to learn ROTFL, which is rolling on the floor laughing. So, and it's interesting because, you know, no matter how many people, you know, I go out speaking to a lot of different groups and everything, and I ask people, you know, who knows this, you know? Be right back, got to go to work, talk to you later, in text up on the screen, and very few still do, mostly middle-aged people. And, of course, I remind them that's how we get older. You know, the language walks away from us, and before you know it, you're talking about horses and buggies, and no one knows what that is.
So, Pat, I'm curious, how do non-believers, which seems to be you know, goes against the idea here. How does non-believers, as one of the seven codes, work together to attract a broad community?
Yeah, well, that works with the other six pieces, but the non-believers is very important because you know, as we try to define who we are, identifying who the non-believers are, those people who are never going to buy us or work with our brand, do really help us define who we are by defining who we're not going to be. And there's nothing like, you know, a Democrat telling a Republican or vice versa that they're wrong for to further solidify their beliefs, or a Coke person and a Pepsi person, a PC person versus a Mac person, and so on and so forth. So, or like, as I just said, Dunkin' Donuts versus Starbucks. And so those people really become, the non-believers really help our people who are part of our community. It strengthens their beliefs, because there's nothing like someone telling you you're wrong to make you feel even more like that you're right.
Sure.
And then I used to think that was about it, but that there's always this contrast, these two polar opposites clashing against each other. But there's actually a great marketing opportunity in that also, because if you can identify people who don't want sugar, you can create sugar-free. If you can identify people who don't want caffeine, you can create decaf, and so forth.
Do a little bit of branding for everybody, actually. Hey, Pat, thank you for being on the show. We have unfortunately run out of time for this segment.
Thanks so much.
Founder, CEO of Thinktopia. Thinktopia.com is the website, and, of course, the book. Even though it's a couple years old, go out and check it out, too. It's Primal Branding. If you don't have it, generate zealots for your brand, your company, and your future. On the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Pat, thanks again for being with us.
You bet.
We'll be back in just a minute.
Under pressure? Get creative concepts fast. Run a global pitch on openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 advertising and marketing creators from 125 countries. Simply take 15 minutes to fill out our online brief form and we'll take care of the rest. From world-class agencies to the best independents to the brightest freelancers, openad.net global creatives can deliver creative concepts direct to your desktop in a matter of days. Why not save time, energy, and money by quickly sourcing concepts from the world's brightest creative minds? Visit openad.net and see how we're revolutionizing the way ideas are created and traded. It's simple, it's fast, and it's global. Openad.net, the smarter way to create your advertising from the freshest creative minds on the planet. Visit openad.net today to find out more.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look excitingly clean.
Hey, we found out today that Pat Hanlon is indeed a great guy. Nice guy out of Minneapolis. Founder and CEO of Thinktopia. Thinktopia. .com is the website. And next week, by the way, Ted Burton is with us. Ted is the Executive Vice President of EnviroMedia Social Marketing. And according to his phone number here, which we won't give out, it looks to be from Austin or the Hill Country. So that'll be nice to talk with Ted.
Austin.
Probably on his ranch. You know what I mean?
You know, so, we're talking about branding, Ray. Every time Pat would bring up Dunkin' Donuts, in my mind, I can't help but visualize a heavyset guy with his butt crack coming through the top of his pants, sitting on a stool, having a cup of coffee and a donut. Talk about a brand association.
That's a shame. That's something.
It really is, especially now that supposedly they have good coffee. I just can't shake the old brand image.
Well, so does McDonald's apparently have good coffee, and apparently they do. Ironically, not going to restaurants or not going to one of the Starbucks or the Dunkin's or the McDonald's, the consumer coffee was recently rated really, really, really good is 8 o'clock coffee. That is apparently due to its value, and apparently also it has apparently good taste as well. Plus they have a, like a loyalty program where if you buy so many things, after a certain amount of time, you get a $25 Visa gift card for staying with them. You keep track of the, ISKI codes on the bags and such and send them in. That's kind of cool.
Why am I thinking you got a case of, 8 o'clock coffee?
Don't have it yet. It hasn't arrived. We're expecting that in the mail any day now. Yeah. No, ironically, we drink 8 o'clock coffee when we don't have the Kona brew, of course, hint, hint. So we need, you know, it's good coffee. Right now I have a big bag of coffee and I don't know where it's from, but I know it was expensive. It was like $15.
Huh? Generic coffee. Generic coffee.
It's not generic. It's just got the cool brand on it. So as a result, it costs more, but it's pretty good coffee as well.
But you know, you're right, Ray, about the value issues that are coming into play today in our struggling economy. I think that, you know, the days of not even questioning why you would pay, you know, $4+ for a cup of coffee, and I think those days are long gone, and I'm not sure when they'll ever return. I think consumers are getting much more, they're having a reality check on a lot of their spending that once was a little just, you know, over the top. And they say, and I'm no economist, no surprise there, but they say that this will be a long recovery, that the, you know, hope for everyone to return to spending as they once did is going to be a slow and arduous process.
And the big old slap in the face is gas prices are once again on the rise, too. Just what we need at this time. Thanks a lot, folks. Hope your Christmas bonuses are nice. Maybe you want to share some of those with the AIG folks, huh?
You're not saying that in the right language. You need a Farsi.
Well, but I understand where the money ends up. And so instead of enjoying that cup of coffee, I'll put an extra gallon of gas in my tank. I guess that's the way it is. We've got Gene Bliss with us here at the Advertising Show, the customer experience, and she tells us now, even in these times or any time, talk to your customers. Find out what's going on. Find out what they're thinking about you. Let's listen.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Talk to customers to steer your business. Lush Cosmetics doesn't invest in advertising. Instead, founder Mark Constantine and others from Lush keep a conversation going with tens of thousands of Lushy customers who do their advertising for them. The page at the top of the Lush North American Forum reads, "This is the spot to honestly tell us how we're doing. Share your opinions, both glowing and steaming. You talk, we lurk," it says. And that is exactly what happens here. This is Lush Cosmetics' open and honest relationships with its customers. Checking in on the forums, on September in 2008, there were over 70,000 members in the International Forum and nearly 22,000 in the U.S. Forum. And in the U.S. alone, there have been well over 1 million posts in 37 topics. Make 2009 the year where you teach your customers to talk back. Create a forum where they talk and you listen. When customers talk back to you, it means they believe you're listening.
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights from major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Gene, as always, it's great to have you here, part of the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Next week we have, for your listening pleasure, I've lost my sheet of paper. There it is. Ted Burton, Executive VP of EnviroMedia Social Marketing. A fellow Texan. That's a good thing. Looking forward to that. Alex Ben Block with us, by the way, coming up after that. So that's always a great interview day as well. This article out of Advertising Age says, how to keep ad skippers from fast forwarding through your ad. Okay. Most TV ads give a marketer half a minute to make a pitch, but a new study suggests advertisers barely have 3 or 4 seconds to get it right. Well, we know that. Come on. Viewers with digital video recorders, 25% more likely to fast forward past print ads or past ads that don't interest them immediately. 25% of the viewers likely not to watch an entire ad that fails to draw them right in right away. Well, that's certainly, you know, I'm glad that they finally figured that out, but hasn't that always been the way it should be?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, duh. Yeah, you probably ought to be engaging at the onset. So, but anyway, so if you are thinking about advertising and you don't want to let the creativity or the compelling moment kick in there until about 7 or 8 seconds, probably ought to rethink your creative.
Scoot it up a little bit.
Exactly. Looking forward to next week's show. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Tell a friend, too. about the advertising show. TheAdvertisingShow.com. There are a gazillion, at least, more shows than AIG had dollars, with more information as well than right at TheAdvertisingShow.com since 2001. We've been doing this. Being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit them online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network, you can visit Captivate at Captivate.com. You might have even seen some of those things that they've got cooking. They're in elevators and all over the place. It's kind of cool. Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. This is a Big Radio Midgets production.